It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I am your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we are here and we're doing life together, and we're glad, as always, that you've joined us, aren't we, Chris?
That's right. It's great to be back again this weekend. And this program today, Dr. Linda, I'm very interested in because I've got young children at home, and obviously, if I'm going to call myself a Christian and my wife is going to do the same thing, we want to raise them to share our Christian faith.
A few weeks ago, I went on a national television news program, and I talked about the heartache, Chris, for a lot of parents whose kids either aren't embracing their Christianity, or even worse yet, they're just walking away from it as young adults. And apparently, this is happening way more than we want to believe.
See, I've got a house of young kids. So right now, they're pretty malleable. But as they get older, they will develop a sense of their own. And it's our prayer, big time, that they embrace Christianity.
You're doing all the right stuff right now by taking them to church, by modeling the habits of the spiritual disciplines. I know you go to my church. I got my eye on you,
that's
buddy.
That's right. That's right.
I know what you're doing. And we're in a church that's very, very much the Word and really teaches the kids the Word, which I love. It's one of the reasons why I'm at that church. And
right.
I'm sure you are feeling the same way.
Well, my parents at first said, "You're going to a Presbyterian church." But then they visited and readily admitted, hey, that church preaches the Word.
It does preach the Word.
We're glad you're there.
This response to this television show I did, and then I wrote a blog on it, was so great. And because I personally know a lot of parents who are really struggling with real heartache over their children who aren't walking with the Lord. Because, Chris, the last thing that we want to ever think about is that we might not see our kids in eternity.
Right.
I mean, that's a thought no parent wants to deal with. We're going to look at a couple of things. There were two studies that were really important. One was by the Barna Group and another one by USA Today. And here's the scary statistic for me. They found that nearly 75% of Christian young people fall away from the faith and they leave the church after high school. The thing that we want to avoid is just blaming parents in this program. We want to look at the role parents play, but we also want to look at other factors that are involved in this. Listen to this. The statistics show that children spend an average of about 30 hours per week in school, where they're often taught ideas that are opposed, basically, to Christian beliefs, especially now. This has really changed since I was in school. There were very strong Judeo-Christian values in the public schools when I was a kid. That is not the case now. This is a time when secular humanism has really taken over the public school system. So you think about that. They're being taught ideas of evolution and the acceptance of some things that are very countercultural to the Christian walk. And if they're spending 30 hours a week with those influences, and then you add to that that they're coming home to about another 30 hours of spending time in front of a television set or a screen of some kind, being bombarded by commercials, sitcoms, playing video games, or connecting on social media. And there's a lot of messages involved in that. How much time do you think the average teen spends in dealing with church things?
There's no way the two compare.
Yeah. You've got 30 hours in school, 30 hours on pop culture and probably media, and then you have about 45 minutes that the average person spends in church. Just think about that.
Yeah.
What kind of voices are being put into their heads, and what are we as families doing about those voices that they're hearing that are most of the time competing?
Well, as far as teaching a child faith, there's a lot of competition, and there might be more going on there as well.
Yeah. We don't want to ignore what parents are doing, but I want you to start thinking about all the competing voices, what our kids are exposed to. We're going to get into everything from what parents are doing to what youth groups are doing in a little bit. But one of the things that I have seen a difference in is that our children, I don't think, have been taught to do some critical thinking. I see a lot of the kids not being encouraged to challenge the views that they're hearing. They're not being encouraged to be skeptical, because what happens to kids when they start to disagree? Do you have any idea?
Well, if it's anything like what happened when I was in the youth group at church, I know it's not necessarily school, there were some theology issues that the kids didn't agree on.
Right.
So guess what? The first thing we did was we went and learned it.
So when the kids are in the larger culture and they disagree with something someone is saying, now if you take a Christian viewpoint, you are labeled a bigot.
Oh, yeah.
You're labeled a homophobe. Mm-hmm. You're labeled a hater. And one of the scary trends that I'm seeing is that this whole notion of tolerance, which is poorly defined, because tolerance really is about disagreeing with somebody
right.
in a respectful way. But instead, what we're having, it's been redefined to you can never dissent.
Hmm.
We got a lot of Christian kids that are scared to even talk about what they believe because they're afraid that they're going to be accused of being judgmental or a hater. This is a serious issue in our culture, that no longer do we have what I would call civil discord, where we're talking about issues, we're debating issues. I saw this crazy story about a university in Scotland, and there was a debate going on. And one of the debaters, during the debate, now people can't see us, so I have to describe this rather than show, but one of the debaters just threw up her hands and shook her head because she couldn't believe what the other side said. She got accused by the debate team of a microaggression, and they said that she did not create a safe space.
Oh, wow.
For ideas. I mean, it's so crazy. You can't even believe that these things are true. So this squelching of dissent is a really serious issue that we have to consider.
You're right, Dr. Linda. It really is an interesting time we live in concerning these issues of tolerance. But you have some facts from Fuller Seminary about how young people are falling away from the faith.
A study by Fuller Seminary, like you said, looked at why this is happening. The study determined that the most important factor in whether young people leave the church or they stay steadfast to their faith, which is what we're hoping, is whether they have a safe haven to express their doubts and concerns regarding their faith before they leave home.
Right.
A safe haven usually means us, the family members, and typically a church where they can talk about these things. They want to be able to talk about the issues that they're engaging in with the culture. They need the family to be able to talk about this, and they need their church, particularly their church youth ministry, to be talking about this. They also found that most church youth programs, and here's the problem, Chris, tend to focus on entertainment, giving pizza, rather than building them up in their faith.
That's true.
And I have to say, I kind of charged into one of my former churches when we lived somewhere else, when my kids were this age, and I was seeing a lot of that. And I went in, I said, we need to talk about building them up, getting them really encouraged in the Word, understanding the Word, knowing the Word, reading the Word, so that when they go and they leave home, they are grounded in their faith. They need to know the tenets of their faith, what they believe, and how they're going to deal with these issues. One of the things I did is there was a very popular song that was on, and I took the lyrics of the song. I didn't let them see them, but I sang the lyrics of a very popular hymn. And I said, as soon as you recognize that hymn, somebody raise their hand and tell me what it is. So I sang the entire hymn. Nobody recognized it. Then I sang the first line of a popular song that had really awful lyrics.
Yeah.
Every single hand in that youth group went up.
Wow. And chances are the youth group had some really good dodgeball players too.
Oh my gosh.
I've seen those youth groups before.
I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He was way ahead of his time when he was talking to the church. He said that the church needs to start feeding the sheep rather than amusing the goats. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
We need to understand that this struggle that we're in is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's Ephesians 6:12. That's the battle we're engaged in with our kids. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. And to fight it, we have to teach our kids how to put on the armor of God. We have to put it on.
Right.
And then we have to teach our kids how to fight.
Well, stay with us here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show as we talk more about this serious problem of children falling away from the faith so you can know how to avoid the pitfalls and equip your children to take on an increasingly hostile culture toward Christianity. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Chris Weigel, co-host of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you want to share a thought with Dr. Linda, just tweet at Dr. Linda Mental.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we're talking about helping your children embrace their faith. And Dr. Linda, some recent online articles indicate a relationship between parental behavior and children who grow up to embrace their parents' faith. Is there a connection?
Well, there can be. And so I want to make sure that I'm not saying yes, always. It's always related to the parents, because it's not. But in one instance where parents have to train their children in the way that they should go in terms of explaining their faith to them, training them with Bible stories like we talked about, knowing scripture, taking them to church, being responsible to teach them the faith, that is the parents' obligation. Right. And we do need to do that. But I've got to tell you, when we're talking about this topic, Chris, I know a lot of very faithful parents who have done all of that. And their kids still fall away. Here's why it's important to at least lay the foundation. There was one particular study that found out that when both parents were faithful and active in the church, 93% of their children remained faithful. 93%. When just one parent was faithful, it goes down to 73%. When neither parent was particularly active in the church, only 53%. I'm actually surprised that it's even that high when neither parent's involved. In those instances where neither parent was active at all and only attended church now and then, the percentage went down to 6%. There's a connection of parents taking your kids to church, being involved in the church, and training the kids in the scriptures.
Are the parents totally to blame when this goes wrong?
No, and that's what I want to make sure that every parent hears me, because if you've done that laying of the foundation and your kids are falling away, it doesn't mean that it's their fault. And I think parents need to hear that, because I know a lot of brokenhearted parents who have done what they consider everything right. And it's not that simple just to point a finger and to say, well, there must be something wrong with you that your kids are not serving the Lord. So let's be really careful in the church not to point fingers at people. We don't know their stories. We don't know the stresses that they've experienced. We don't know what their children have been exposed to away from the home. That's the issue, is that there are other forces. And ultimately, one day, every child has to make faith his or her own. You cannot ride the coattails of your parents' faith into heaven. It's not going to work. They're going to stand alone in front of the throne one day, and they can't blame their parents. Every kid has a free will. And boy, it's hard. As a parent, you see that free will in action, and you see them making these horrible mistakes and these horrible decisions. You see who they date and the friends that they choose. And sometimes, even with the best influence, kids will get involved with a group of people or a friend or somebody else, and they get pulled away. Just be really careful in the church not to blame parents, but to come alongside them. That's going to be really important.
If God is sovereign, we don't know what he's doing in someone's life spiritually. So this kid may be out of control, but we don't know what God's doing in their life at the time.
And that gets to the hope that we're going to talk about as we continue with the show, to not give up, because we don't know. Here's what somebody said on social media. I wish that I had been more obedient to the things the Lord showed us along the way. I wish when I caught my son in that first lie, I would have taken a whole different approach to his discipling. There's a parent who's looking at his or her responsibility and saying, I do bear some responsibility in the way I parented my children, but that isn't always the only thing that is going on in a child's life.
What does the relationship between the parent and the child have to do with their spirituality?
It's really important to look at the type of relationship that we're building with a child. The number one thing is always the emotional bond that parents have with their kids. If you're a parent and you can get through that busyness and all the activity, and you can kind of tone it down and leave space in your family to really talk to your kids and find out where they are emotionally, and what are they struggling with, and what situations are they encountering. This is what is so important, that you set up this atmosphere on an ongoing basis. You got little kids, so just be really paying attention to this.
Oh, wait. You haven't been around our four-year-old. That is complex.
She's probably challenging you on a bunch of questions already, right?
She's not even a teenager.
Yeah. It starts early. And the thing is, there's a natural point in every child's life where they begin to struggle with their faith. And that's healthy. It's actually developmental. But you have to be there to listen to that, to help them through the difficult times. And you have to help them apply the principles. Here's an example. When somebody dies in the church, and if one of our kids comes up to us and says, why doesn't God just heal that person? That is a tough question, because sometimes we see people dramatically healed from cancer, and other times we see people who have tremendous faith and God takes them home. And we don't have an easy answer for those things. But the important part is that we're sitting with our child and we're struggling over that issue, and we're showing them scripture, and we're talking about the sovereignty of God and how he controls all things, and that there are times when we suffer and there are times when difficulty comes, but we're helping our kids through this. The number one thing I want everyone to get out of that talk we just had was that you've got to create an emotional bond with your child where you're there, you're listening, and you're in touch with what's going on with them.
Right. Well, anyone who's had kids knows there's no one formula from child to child.
That's true.
With that in mind, what do you think parents can do to encourage a spiritual walk with the Lord?
Number one, other than the emotional connection that you have, is simply modeling it. I think we have a generation of kids right now that are looking at their parents to be authentic and real and genuine in their faith. If you can be authentic in your Christian living, and you're showing the heart of God to your kids, you're caring about their souls more than you're caring about their successes, where you're showing unconditional love, but you're also showing tough love when that's needed. So it's this combination of unconditional love, but confronting problems, and then making prayer and Bible reading a part of the family life. Not in a way that's demanding, that's routine, like you have to pray before the meal.
Right.
You don't want to be legalistic about it, but if you're genuinely doing this and giving thanks to God, and it's a part of your everyday family life where it's routine, that Christian worldview is going to be translated to your child, and they're going to see everything through that Christian worldview. When it's authentic, there's a better chance that they're going to embrace it. What you hear from a lot of kids is that my parents were hypocritical.
Right.
And we don't want that.
I'd like to add this. You don't have to know everything.
You don't.
About God. I think if you fake it and try to come off as somebody spiritually that you're not, your kids will see right through that.
Yeah, acknowledge your weaknesses. And you know what? When you make mistakes as a parent, ask for forgiveness and apologize to them. And you can even go and apologize to them later. If they're really struggling, and you can go back and say, you know what? I'm really sorry. I don't think I helped you with that issue, and I see you struggling with that. I'm going to get more attuned, or I'm going to get more up on that. I want to talk about the power of prayer and never giving up. If you're a parent today and you're listening to this show and you're feeling so down and so discouraged because you've been praying for that child, you want that child back in the faith, we want to encourage you. We want to give you some hope in that prayer that you're having, and we want you to be like Winston Churchill and never give up. Stay with us. Hope and encouragement on the other side. We'll be back in a moment.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
The news these days is full of so many sad, depressing, or downright frightening things that cause us to go through our days with frowns on our faces and a cloud over our hearts. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I've got a suggestion for you to help ward off the heaviness that you might be feeling. The Bible is clear. Laughter does good like a medicine. One clear antidote for heaviness is to increase the laughter in your life. While my friend was battling cancer, she made it a regular habit to watch all the wonderful old comedy movies she could find. Laughing with her husband allowed them both to enjoy a rush of endorphins and precious moments together. Now, I'm not telling you that laughter alone will solve everything, but it will clear out the gloom. Reading God's word and living in his promise is our best armor. But having a good laugh every day will help keep your focus off those things you can't control. It'll cut down on your wrinkles and increase your trust in the God who rules your world and the world around you.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today's topic, helping your children embrace their faith. And Dr. Linda, we know many parents who struggle and wring their hands and pray and pray and pray over teenagers or even grown children who have fallen away from their faith. Mm-hmm. And what do we know about their journey? What's it like for those parents?
It's incredibly painful.
Right.
It's just an incredibly painful process, because as a Christian, as a believer, you want to see your children in eternity with you, and you don't want your children to make a bunch of mistakes. Mm. We all know that when we confess our sins, that we are forgiven, that Christ is faithful, we repent, he forgives us, he wipes it clean, right, on his slate. But what we also know is that you live with those consequences a lot of times.
Right.
So the heartache involved in watching your kids make mistake after mistake, not including God, in their life, which is where it really goes bad, is really difficult to watch as a parent.
One of the worst examples I've seen is a family whose daughter was just always in trouble, always something, nearly died in a car wreck, continued to do drugs, and they basically gave up.
We don't want to give up. I know it's hard, and that's where the church can really come along. That's where other families can come along and be a part of that encouragement that every parent that's in that needs. I've done that for so many of my friends, where I've come along and said, come on, how many stories, though, have we heard about people you never thought would make a turn,
right,
have turned around? You know, we don't want to preach to our kids. We don't want to preach at them. And I think that's the mistake that a lot of parents make. I know a mom who kept saying to her son, you know that if you keep doing that, you're going to get in so much trouble. You're not going to go to heaven. You're going to be in hell. He had a friend die. And he's not serving the Lord, but his friend died. And the mom came up to him and said, well, if your friend had known Jesus, it probably wouldn't have happened.
Oh, wow.
And he was just devastated, because there's a case of not tuning in to the emotional place where that child was.
Well, the child looks at mom and says, so this is the example of Christianity?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. So we've got to be so careful with that. If you've taught them what's right and wrong, I know my kids always say, never forget, Mom, your voice is always in our head.
I know how they feel. We do this once a week.
Yes. So you don't have to keep lecturing them on what is right and wrong. Instead, just live out your faith. Pray and realize that God can use anything and anyone. You kind of mentioned this, Chris, that we can be surprised at the people God can use and bring into their lives.
Right.
When maybe we can't speak into their lives, but maybe somebody else can. And if there have been some kind of hurts or wounds, I think one of the best ways you can minister to your child is to deal with those hurts and wounds.
Right.
And try to deal with whatever has happened that is creating some kind of divide. But in that process, show the love of Christ in that. Show grace, show mercy, show forgiveness, all the things that we know are really, really important in their life.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned before parents being on the same page as far as how to handle issues of spirituality with their children. And I will say this, there have been times where they ask some really tough questions.
Yeah,
and sometimes you don't get any chance to rehearse. But there have been some topics that we see boiling up. And Sharon and I are able to say, how do we deal with this when the question pops up?
I know you're in a small group of families with other children the same ages as your kids.
Yes.
Isn't that a place where you can go?
Share war stories.
Yeah, and then get help from each other and say, how did you handle that? And what did you do? That is the support that I think parents need. And that's one of the values that church brings into our life, is that there are in many churches these small group communities where you can bring up these issues and you can pray with one another and you can get wisdom from other people.
Well, the problem with small group is sometimes people ask me for advice. I don't know.
You actually do. I've seen you handle your kids and you do have some good ideas for your kids. So I think we do have a lot that we can share with each other.
We will see. We will see. What advice do you have for parents who are battling this sadness and grief that has gone on for years?
I think the most important thing is keep the relationship with your child going. And while you're grieving and you're wishing things would be different, just stay connected to that child, because you never know when that child's going to take a turn, and be open to whatever it is. Maybe the child will be open to prayer. I remember a very difficult case of a family where the child was just lost in drugs. And it looked like it was so hopeless, and it was so bad that he actually ended up in a hospital from an overdose and was dying. But at the very last minute, he looked at his dad. They stayed connected. Mm-hmm. His dad came to the hospital, and he said, Dad, I know that I might not make it, and I know I do need Jesus in my life.
Wow.
And the dad prayed for him, and he did die, which is a terrible outcome for a parent,
right,
to have a child die. But the parents had the reassurance that he was in eternity with the Lord, and that one day again they would be reunited.
Right.
And I can't tell you how that helped those parents when they had to deal with his death. Look for the hope of Christ in all these circumstances. Keep that relationship as strong as you can. Keep an open dialogue.
On a lighter note, would you agree that one good tool for keeping an open dialogue with your kids is simply by using humor?
Yeah.
Keeping the place light.
Yeah, it's so that they're not always feeling like this religion thing is so heavy that we have to be talking about, but having fun. And I think this is where a lot of families miss it. Just have a lot of fun with your kids and do things with them. Have activities with your young adult. Invite them over for a cookout and barbecue and just have a good time so that they have good memories and good things that they can do. I think the other thing that we have to recognize, grief comes in the life of all of us, and we need to allow it to come and we need to feel it, but then we always need to put that grief in perspective with the hope of Christ, and that there is this hope of an encounter, that we stand on the Word of God, that we know that nothing is impossible, and we get other people to pray for us and with us when we're feeling exhausted by the process. Get support from your church. Find a couple of people in your church that can stand with you and that can help you pray.
You know, we talked a minute ago about small groups, and we can't say it enough that if you try to parent alone, chances are you're going to find yourself in the dark. You need some friends that are in the same boat.
Yeah, I think it's always good. So building strong families, that's the role of the church. The church has a big part of this. Parents, do your work at home, lay the foundations, find a church, have the church come alongside of you, because Sunday school classes, we're doing a 20-something class right now in our church where we're dealing with 20-year-olds that are like mid-20s and up and helping them deal with the issues of their career. And I know we're saying things to them that their parents could never say.
Right.
So I know that that's a good place. We're talking about relevant issues. We're talking about difficult subjects like sexual issues and the pop culture and how that's influenced movies, images, the things that they're experiencing. And then we're teaching those young adults to really question critically, what do I believe? How does that intersect with culture? And how can I critically think about this? We're coming to the end here. We don't usually do this on the show, but I really want to pray for any parent who's listening right now. Lord, we just bring any person who's listening to this who has a burden for a young person, a young adult, a teenager, and even a small child who has fallen away from the faith or has never really encountered you. We just pray right now that you will encourage the heart of that person, that you will bring to mind that you are there, and that when we need to cry out and we feel desperate, that your word says we can come to you and we can cry out to you, and that you do hear our cries. You do hear our prayers. I pray for every person who's listening to find somebody in their life who can come alongside them, who can lift them up, can encourage them. Most of all, Lord, we hope in you, because we know that your word says that nothing is impossible and that our hope is in you. And so we pray right now that you would encourage every person listening to this show, and that you would bring them the hope of that salvation that you have given us in your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our social media director, Hannah Duke, and our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to you, Chris Weigel, my co-host, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.